in the book of 2 Timothy and chapter number 1 and verse number 1. The Bible said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, that's who the book's to, he said, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. You can be seated, and let's pray. Father, as we bow in your presence, we thank you for the opportunity of prayer. Lord, we are glad that we can call upon the throne of God and find help in a time of need. Lord, we always catch you at home. Lord, we're glad you're never gone and not out of town. You're always available, God, when we begin to call on you. Now, Lord, I pray this morning you'd take a live coal off the altar of God. Lord, lay it upon our tongue and our lips. Lord, we realize these feeble lips and minds and body, God, this morning don't always glorify you. But I pray, Father, this morning that you'll do a work on the body, God, that we might say what needs to be said. Lord, our hearts might be thrilled and challenged and strengthened. And Lord, if there's one, oh dear God, if there's one in our midst, Lord, this morning, on the sound of our voice, that's not saved, not birthed in the family of God, may this be the day that they'll get under conviction. May this be the day they call upon the name of the Lord. May this be the day they repent. Lord, that you move into their house and their body, and God, take up your abode. And I pray, God, this morning, if there's one that's cold and indifferent, walked away from you, touched their heart, we'll give you the praise and the glory for what you're going to accomplish. In Jesus' precious and holy name we humbly pray. Amen and amen. Now, I want to ask you just a little question this morning, and you help me answer that and kind of get the setting for the message. And we'll look at these things out of the book of 2 Timothy. Now, where have you learned the Word of God and learned a little bit about God and about the Bible more in your life than any other place? Has it been down in the public school at the schoolhouse? All right. Has it been down on the job where you work every day? All right. Has it been on the television set? On the radio? Amen. Has it been down at the church house? Amen. Is that where you've learned the more of the Word? Well, down at the church house, where have you learned more in about the Word of God and about God than any other thing that they do at the church? Is it in the singing? Is it in the preaching? Amen. Now, God said that He chose the foolishness of preaching to save men and women. Now, if that's possible, and if that's so, and if that's true, and you already have indicated that it's true, that you've learned more at the church than any other place, then shouldn't you have more attention given in your life to the church house? Amen. Is this an important place? Yes, sir. It sure is. Well, I see we got about 30 minutes now. That's not much. I've got a short time to raise the dead. Amen. And I'll try my best to give you something, I pray today, that God might help you. Amen. And we look at the Word of God. And as we look at the Word of God, may God help us. Now, turning into the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 1, I just want to make this clear. I've gone over this before, but I'll get it again. And we'll break down the New Testament so that we can understand it. We do know the historical books of the New Testament. We're not talking about the Old Testament for the time being. We're talking about the New Testament. The historical books are what? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts. And we know that the first four Gospels of the Word of God, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are the historical books concerning the gospel and the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And the book of Acts is the historical data and the historical book telling us about the church. We wouldn't know much about the church did we not have the book of Acts. Then we know, as it starts off in the book of Romans, down through the book of 2 Thessalonians. That is the epistles that Paul has given us, a part of the epistles that Paul's given us, and we know them as the church epistles. Then from there, we got 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and we got Titus and the book of Philemon, which I call sometimes of the pastoral epistles. And then we come from Hebrews on down through the book of Jude, and we know that those are of the general epistles. And amen, we could break those down. And then we got one prophetic book in the New Testament, which is the book of Revelation. So we got that. But I want to go back this morning and break it down. We're talking about the book of Timothy. And get this fixed in your mind. And every time we get you some kind of heading, and you know how preachers are, we come back and break it down so you have to pick up more. And now you have to broaden your horizon in your mind and get it fixed. And so we'll break it down where you understand it a little bit more. So let's break down Paul's epistles just a little bit. We've got Romans, and then we've got 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and Galatians. Put them four down together, and we'll call them the primary epistles of Paul. And he's given them as his primary one. He deals. The book of Romans is great when it goes to telling you how we come from sin and pass from sin, from sin and from death unto life. Brother, he tells us about that. It's good to understand how we're justified. Amen. How that the condemnation's gone. We studied the book of Romans and the 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and the book in the Word of God of Galatians. And then we come to the book of Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians. And Paul kind of puts that in another stage. And I call them the perfection epistles. Now, we can't be perfect, but he talks about perfection epistles. And brother, in those three books, when it comes to Ephesians and it comes to Philippians and Colossians, Paul steps up a little notch and he tries to tell us how that we can get closer to God and become more holy and be more acceptable in the sight of God. So he kind of steps him up, and I call them the perfection epistles. Then we come to the ones I'm at today, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and the book of Titus and the book of Philemon, and we'll label them this morning as his epistles in the Word of God, his personal epistles as he's given. And I left out some there. There's two in the Word of God that I want to point out, and it's 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, and we'll find that them are his prophetic epistles. If you'll look at this, just for introduction, before I get to the message, in Thessalonians, please. Amen. Then 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Now look at this. Mark this in your Bible. It's important. The first book of Thessalonians and the second book of Thessalonians is the second coming epistles. And it talks about the coming of the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 10, the little phrase, and to wait for the Son. Amen. Every one of these chapters close in the second coming of the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 10. Chapter 2, verse 19. For what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming? Closing with the second coming. In chapter number 3, verse 13. To the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints. Talking about His coming. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, He talks about, but I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. And goes on and tells about it. Amen. That's the second coming. And then in chapter number 5 and verse number 23, He closes out the chapter, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse number 8, in flaming fire taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What you talking about in fire? He's talking about in verse number 7 before that. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. Talking about His coming. Amen. Chapter number 2, verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord. Chapter number 3, verse number 5. And the Lord directs your hearts into the love of Christ, or love of God, and into the patient waiting for Christ. Talks about His coming. So that's the prophetic epistles. Got it? Amen. Now, we'll just leave that to the side. That'd be another message, but I just wanted to throw that in. Amen. 2 Timothy. And kind of widen your horizon in your mind. Broaden your mind. Some of your minds need to be broadened. Amen. We're broadening everything else. We might as well broaden our mind. Amen. We want it God's menu. We're sitting at God's table. May God feed us. Now, I want us to take our Bible and look at these things in the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 1, there's a little phrase that I want to point out. It's mentioned 7 times in 2 Timothy, and we're going to look at them 7 times. We may not cover much ground on them, but I'll give them to you. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in, notice these 3 words, in Christ Jesus. Now the phrase, in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus, is mentioned 7 times in 2 Timothy alone. And I want to deal with them 7 times. Now, I want to say to you this morning, everybody sitting here, you're either in Christ or you're in Adam. One of the two. Amen. The Bible said in the Word of God, in Adam, all die. And the Bible said, in Christ, all live. Amen. Now, you are either in Adam or you're in Christ. Everybody in this building, you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, amen, the old Adam's dead. Amen. And Christ has come alive in you. But if you're in Adam, you're still dead in trespass and sin. You're still lost and undone. You're still on your way to hell. You're hopeless and helpless and hellbound without Christ. But if you're in Christ, you're saved for time and eternity. You're born again. Heaven's your home. Now you're either in Christ or you're in Adam. One of the two, right? You got that, haven't you? Amen. Now you figure out which one you are. I can't figure that out for you. But the Holy Ghost can show you. And if you're in Adam this morning, I pray God work all over your soul. I pray God walk up and down the avenue of your heart. I pray God walk up and down your soul and tell you this morning, show you that there's a hell for you to shun and a heaven for you to gain through the blood of Jesus Christ who died for you on the cross of Calvary. I pray God show you the mighty love and the magnitude of God this morning and show you how great and marvelous His Son is and how much He loved you when He reached down and, brother, began to die for you on the cross of Calvary. And in His arms, brother, He wants you to be there this morning. All right? You with me? Now, I pray that God might help us. And as we look at these, I pray that God will show us some things. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 1, he said, in Christ Jesus. But if you look up in the middle of that verse, it said something like this, according to the, notice these 3 words, and I got them underlined and highlighted in my Bible, promise of life. And I want to say that we have the promise of life in Christ Jesus, number 1. Look at it. In Christ Jesus, we have the promise of life. Amen. The promise of life. Amen. Listen, you didn't promise me that I had eternal life. You didn't promise me that I could have it. Amen. And you didn't give it to me. But I've got one in heaven this morning that said He'll give me eternal life. And brother, He will keep His promise. He's never failed on one promise He's ever made. Is that right? Amen. So we'll find in chapter number 1, verse number 1, we have the promise of life in Christ Jesus. Now just giving this little thought. Study this when you get home. I can give you the verses for it. I won't take time to get them to you right now. But if you want them before you leave, just see me at the door. I'll give you these verses. You can write them down. But I won't take time for it. But we'll talk about the book of John. John, one of the simplest books in the Bible, and I have every young Christian, I recommend that they read that. Matter of fact, some of you old birds wouldn't be bad for you to start over again. It's simple. Amen. John is the simplest book in the Bible for us to understand. I'd say read the book of John. Amen. It's pretty plain. It's clear. And we need to read it. And so John, and I want to point to the word everlasting and the word eternal. Is mentioned 17 times with the word life either before it or after it in the book of John. John either talks about everlasting life or he talks about life everlasting. He either talks about life eternal or he talks about eternal life. Amen. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So there's the promise of life in the book of John. And brother, you won't find everlasting or eternal mentioned in the book of John without having life before it or life after it. Every time John got to talking about life, he got to talking about eternal life and everlasting life. Every time I get to thinking about life, I get to thinking about life living. You said, are you alive? Amen. Forevermore. Because He has given me life eternal. I'm not talking about living here. Amen. You said, preacher, one of these days you're going to quit living. No, you got the Bible all out of context. You got it all out of order. I'm not going to quit living. Amen. I just begun to live when He moved in. Brother, I just started living. I won't quit living. I'm living forevermore. I'm just going to change positions of life. Praise God. I'm going to move off the scene of time, step out into eternity, and I'm going to have life forevermore. Glory to God. That's right. Praise be unto God this morning. Amen. Makes me feel good. Thank God for eternal life. In the book of 1 John, John carried over so good over in 1 John. Brother, you look over in 1 John. It's either 6 or 7 verses. I can look them up for you. But in 1 John, he does the same thing. Brother, one thing about old John, he is straight through. Brother, he was consistent. Some of us, you talk to us today, we are one way, and tomorrow talk to us with some, and wait 5 years and we done changed our mind about things. But 1 John, brother, he got over and he got the word eternal, and every time he give the word eternal, guess what he done? He put life before it, or he put life after it. Amen. You see what I'm saying to you? Brother, as I look at this, old John done that. Amen. 6 times in 1 John, he said eternal life. Brother, that's only means it. So what did he say in 2 Timothy, verse 1, out of chapter 1? He gives us the promise of life. I'm alive forevermore because He's promised me I'm going to live forevermore. Amen. Well, we ain't got time to stay on all these. So let's go on. 2 Timothy. Turn with me now to chapter 1. Now you said that's where I'm at. Good. I want you to stay there for a minute. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Don't you run off on me. Stay with me. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, read with me in verse 8. Now we stopped our text at verse 7 because I knew I was going to read verse 8 in a minute. The Bible said, "Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Now notice verse 9. Now we're looking at the phrase, "in Christ Jesus, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." In verse number 1, we said that there is the promise of life in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice in verse 9, there's a little word down there called purpose. Do you see that is on purpose? I want you to look at this, and we'll call it the purpose of life in Christ Jesus. Not only can we have the promise of life in Christ Jesus, but we can have the purpose of life in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a lot of you this morning may not know what you're here for. Amen. You said, "I'm just here because somebody invited me, because I felt like I ought to go to church." But there ought to be a purpose in your life. Some folks float through. Some of our young folks, they don't know what in the world they're going to do tomorrow. They can't figure out what they're going to do an hour from now. Amen. Some of you old timers been around. You've been having, some purpose in life. You just can't never seem to get there. But you've got a little purpose. If you don't have a little purpose in your life, I don't believe you're ever going to get it. You'd ask our young folks, say, "What are you going to do?" "I don't know. I'm working on that." Listen, when I was a young boy, I knew what I was going to do when I got grown. I was going to be a policeman or something like that. Never did make it. But I had ideas. I was going to be something. Amen. I was going to be something. I never did even plan growing up one day and being a nothing. I've never had that in my mind. I've had some purpose. I believe some people got it in their mind, "I'm just going to grow up and go to school, go to college, and I'm just going to be a nothing. I really ain't got nothing I want to get to, know where I want to go. I'm just going to be a nothing." Boy, I wouldn't brag about that if I was you. You young fellas, amen, Joseph, you're sitting right there. You're not too young right now to think about where you're going to head in life. You may not get there, but you ought to have some kind of plans. Some kind of purpose. While we got people sitting on a church pews in America, they don't know any purpose. "I'm just going to church. I don't know what I'm going to church for. I'm just going because I think I've been told that's where I ought to be." Purpose. Brother, God said we can have some purpose of life in the Word of God through and in Christ Jesus. Now remember, you're either in Adam or you're in Christ. And in Christ, you have the purpose of life and you can have the promise of life. Are you with me? We're trying to stay with the text. Now the purpose of life. Preacher, I don't know what I'm for. I don't know what God's plan is for my life. Amen. I tell you what, one of the hardest things to find sometimes is the plan of God for your life. But I believe God wants to know and wants you to know what He wants you to do. Amen. Why, preacher, I ain't got old enough yet. How old you got to be for God to show you what He wants done? Oh, preacher, I'm just 9. I don't know the will of God. Oh, preacher, I'm just 14. I don't know the will of God. Preacher, I'm just 19. I don't know the will of God. Preacher, I'm just 20. I ain't old enough to know the will. I'm just 32. I really ain't got nowhere in purpose. I don't know what God wants. I'm just 40. I don't know what God wants from me yet. I'm getting along about 55. I don't know. Hey, next year I'm going to retire. Preacher, I ain't really figured out. Hey, when are you going to wake up and find out what God wants for you? You're wasting time. Amen. You've been sitting on the pews in the church in America, twiddling your thumbs and sometimes going to the house of God, sometimes not going. You hear me? Brother, you need to have a purpose in life. Somebody says, I don't know what my purpose in life is. Well, I must have a purpose. Why don't you find out what that purpose is? But I'm going to help you along with that. Preacher, I thought you probably were. Yeah, I am. I'm going to help you along with that. Well, preacher, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. I don't know what God wants me to do. Preacher, I'm just waiting on God. Amen. The Lord said wait on Him. But while you're waiting, why don't you pick your Bible up and find out what God does say? Amen. The reason we don't know what God wants for us is because we're not reading the Bible. Let me give you two sure things that you can count on being the will of God. I mean, one time I was trying to find the will of God. I jumped from church to church. I'd pass a little old church over here and stay 3 or 4 years. And somebody bite their thumbnail while I was preaching. And brother get infected and try to sue me. Amen. And not literally, but I'm talking about take it out on me. I'd preach instead of hitting their heart. I stomped their toes and they got mad. So they'd come in and out of the house of God. The next thing you want to do is rise up against me and try to throw me out. And I went from church and I said, well, it's about time. I just packed my bags and went down to another church. Went down there, found out the same devil moved in on the other side of the street and came in and started attacking again. I'd get up and I'd leave. I'd say, I believe it's the will of God for me to leave. I'd go down the road somewhere else and the devil would pack his bags and go with me and get in there and say, somebody said, is that your family? No, it wasn't my family. Amen. But every time I'd go, the devil would pop up. Everywhere I went, amen. And I'd say, hey, everywhere I go, the devil seems to be, this has been the only place I ever come to and seemed like stayed, amen. And you said the devil not showed up here, been here ever since I got here. Amen. That's right. But I done figured this out. Wherever I go, he's going to be there. And so I was sitting one morning and I was trying to find the will of God. Lord, what do you want me to do? I wasn't pastor at that time. And I was trying to find out what you want me to do. Oh God, what do you want? In other words, Lord, where do you want me to go and stomp and stammer around for a little while? I mean, I was trying to tell God what I wanted. Really and technically. And He had never given me what I really wanted. The fact is I hadn't got where I needed to be with God and therefore I didn't want what God wanted. And so I had to get the place. And I was sitting on the front porch of my house in the swing in July. Right before I was fixing to go to work on a public job. And I kind of pushed that old swing back. And I said, Lord, and I've been praying, Lord, what is the will of God? And I opened my Bible up and it went over there in Peter where it said that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. And brother, for the first time in my life, God showed me through the Holy Ghost out of the Word of God that the will of God is to win souls and bring people to the knowledge of Christ. And I said to myself, Lord, this must be the will of God. Now, where do you want me to? And God said, I'll show you that later, but I'll tell you what I want you to do is win souls. And from that day on, I went out trying my best to do what I could to get somebody to come in the ark of safety and get saved. That's number one in your life. If you want to know the will of God, it don't matter where it's at. It don't matter how you do it. But I want to tell you this morning, you just got to win souls and be an evangelist for God. Brother, you start trying to win souls, passing out tracts and witnessing to people and living a life in front of them. Brother, it takes more than just speaking. It takes a life living in front of them. Amen. And I'll get to that in just a minute. I hope we get all the, I may have to just give you the outline and go home. Amen. Every time I get on a subject, it seems like it just gets bigger and bigger. But I tell you, I'm here just to be God's spokesman and tell you what God wants. I'm not trying to tell you what I think or what I want. It's what God says. That's what you've got to pay attention to. And so I sat there and I seen that day, hey, the will of God is to win souls. So I don't care. You said, preacher, is it here or there? Let's quit worrying about where it's at. God didn't tell. He said, God's not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. And He tells us to go out there and win them. And brother, we've got that in our mind. And God doesn't give us that, the Word of God. So it is right and it's perfect. And it's in the will of God to try to win somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Can you argue with that? Amen. Brother, that's the Word of God, is it not? All right. There's one more little thing. I thought I had it all straightened out, had it all ready, and I said, thank God, I'm going to go win souls. Amen. Do everything I can. So we started what we call personal evangelism. And we started knocking on doors, going everywhere. Been doing that all my life. But for the first time, I realized that's really, hey, I've been doing that. Back yonder years ago, I knocked on doors. We've been to places. I'd drive up and down through Houston, and I'd see Brother Jim's houses we've been to, knocked on. And I remember, I've been to them when they said, I got three television sets, two radios, and I don't need you. Amen. I've been run off from more places than the Habersham County, and you could speak at. Amen this morning. Amen. Been run out of places. I've been over yonder and they said, hey, get out of here. I said, he said, hey, what are you doing? I said, we're witnessing. He said, you not see the sign? He said, no soliciting. I said, I'm not soliciting. I'm witnessing. They think that's soliciting. I thought soliciting running for dog catcher or something. But anyhow, they run us out. I've been run off and run out of places that wouldn't let us witness to people in this county. But I'm saying to you this morning, that's what God wants. And I did that because I was trying to build the church. I'd go out knocking doors. Oh, I want to try to build the church, get the church increased in number. And then one day God let me to see, thank God, it's not just going out to get number. It's going out to get souls. Amen. Amen. I don't care where if I'm down in Atlanta, where I'm in Smyrna, where I'm in Duluth, or where I'm over in Chattanooga, Tennessee, or another state, or another town, or another country. I want to tell you something. When I win souls, I'm not looking at them to see if I can get another number set on the pew. I'm trying to see if I can get another soul that's got the promise of life in Christ Jesus. Amen. And when you get souls in your mind, more than trying to fill a church up, guess what will happen? God will fill the church. Amen. He'll do that. Now, secondly, there's something else about the will of God. We can know here in the Bible, we can know the purpose of life. Preacher, what's my purpose? Number one, win souls. What's the purpose of every child of God? Read with me in Ephesians chapter 1. I'll give you one more purpose. If you'll do these two things, you won't have to worry about where it's at. God will put you where He wants you. You won't have to worry about how to do it. God will show you how to do it. Make sure, number one, that you're trying to do what you can for the glory of God to win souls. But in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, here's another verse that God intends for you to have as a child of God. He said, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now notice this. Underline this, if you will, this phrase. That we should be holy and without blemish or without blame before Him in love. God wants us to walk a consistent, holy life. Now if we'll win souls and walk a holy life, brother, I'll tell you, God will be on your side. God will help you and you'll have purpose in life for God. Now the purpose of life in Christ Jesus. Now, if anybody wants to argue with that, see me after church. I don't have time right now. But amen. You better bring your Bible. Amen. I'm giving you the Bible. You give me the Bible. Brother, I believe this morning, number one, God wants us to win souls. Number two, He wants us to live godly and holy. That's two requirements that God wants. You'll never be in the will of God until, number one, you win souls or try to win souls. You may not even win one. You may never gain a soul, but you go out evangelizing and witness. God wants the church to evangelize. God wants you to evangelize. And when you evangelize and you live holy and consecrated in the front of the world and in front of the people of this world, brother, God will take that and guess what He'll do? He'll be the one that will fill the pew. He'll be the one that will enrich the church. Is that right? Amen. So what two requirements do you have before God this morning to know the will of God? Don't ever expect to know the will of God unless, first of all, you are willing to be where God wants you to be. Amen. First of all, you got to be saved to know the will of God. So many folks are trying to find the will of God, never been birthed in the family of God. If you're not saved, you'll not know the will of God. Except this one thing I'll tell you. God's not willing that any should perish. God's will is for you to be born again. And after God gets you saved, and after you're birthed in the family of God, He wants you to go win somebody else. And then when you get saved by the grace of God, then you dedicate your life and consecrate your life and get the place that you'll live right, walk right, talk right. Amen! Amen! I'm going to do it anyhow. Holy Spirit wants me to do it anyhow. Listen. Do you know this morning, you said, preacher, how do I know that I got it? Everybody run around. How do I know when I got the goods? How do I know I'm saved? Why, we got so many people, they don't know what the will of God is. They don't even know whether they're saved or not. Now, I'm preaching some practical things that the church needs and the church is missing out on, and many preachers won't cover the area on. I'm telling you this morning, you need to know without a doubt that you're birthed in the family of God. I would not want you. Listen, it bothers me. I sit back through the week and I weep over you folks and cry over you people. And I see each of you in my mind's eye and others in your family that they don't even come here. But I see them in my mind's eye and I say, oh, look, Lord, if they died right now, then no doubt they'll probably go to hell. Or at least, Lord, there's a possibility. But you know whether they are or not. And oh, God, but those folks that are coming to church and those that are sitting there and I'm preaching to day after day, week after week, and as I'm preaching to them and trying to tell them the will of God for their life and trying to tell them the word and what you said, Lord, they'll tell you, I don't want to stand before you and their blood drip off my hands because I did not tell them the truth. I want you to know without a doubt that you have the right and the opportunity to be saved. And I want you to know that you know that you can be saved. These things are written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. What is that word again? Eternal. What's behind it? Every time you see the word eternal now, when you're reading after John. Now, that's not the only thing. Eternal is mentioned a lot of times in the Bible with something else before it, after it, but not in John's writings. You'll remember that, won't you? He's given us the promise of life. Now, listen to me. There's people in our churches today that don't know what God wants for them, and they're trying to find the will of God when they're not saved. If you're saved this morning, quit worrying about, you said, preacher, what do I do? Number one, start winning souls. Now, if you're going to go out winning souls, I don't believe you can go out there and tell some old dirty joke in front of a sinner and win that soul to Christ. I don't believe you can go out there in front of them and live a wicked life and lie like everybody else does out in the world and try to win them to God. They're going to have to see something in you. They're going to have to see something different about you. Amen. And that's where that holy life comes in. I'm preaching the truth. Amen. On the second point, they said, well, I'll give you the rest of them. We'll go home in just a minute. I'm going to finish this one. Amen. Or I'm going to get a little bit more into it. I'll never finish it. You know how you know when you got saved? There's some things that you can know when you got saved. Number one, when you get saved, what's the first thing that's going to get touched? Your heart. Amen. God don't touch your feet first. He touches your heart. Then He touches your mind. The heart touches your mind. But now you said, hey, how am I going to know you got the goods? Because when God touches the heart touches the mind. And guess what? Amen. There's some things happen. The facial changes. Your countenance changes. You don't go around, I got saved. You just smile and say, I got born again. You get on the phone, you tell everybody, I got saved. It changes your countenance. And then when you speak, it speaks different than it spoke before. That tongue gets in a different gear. God puts it in reverse and changes, and He burns out the world transmission of it. And brother, He gets that thing to vibrating for the glory of God. And you say hallelujah and praise God for the first time in your life. And you quit cussing and carrying on. Hey. I hear these people cussing and carrying on. And they say, I'm a deacon at the church. Listen, there's something happened. And it wasn't the right thing. Amen. You said you don't believe a Christian can cuss? I believe that you can slide so far back you forget you've been purged and they ain't going to tell you how you talk. Your conversation will betray you. Look at Peter. But I want to tell you something. You don't come up out of the altar by being birthed in the family of God cussing. Amen. 10 minutes later, 2 hours later, next day, brother, you're not down there cussing no more. You're speaking a different thing. And if you are, and I know so and so, I'm telling you what, I'm praying God work on my cussing. Listen, that's one thing God took away from you when you got saved, if you'll stop to think about it.
Yes, sir.
Start talking. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things in my life that didn't get changed because it takes a while for it to get in your feet. It takes a while for it to get in your hands. But it don't take long for it to get in your heart and your head and your mouth and you begin to talk right. But there's a lot of stuff you didn't know was wrong. And as you found it out, and some of you already done found it out 25 years ago and you ain't decided to change it yet. Amen. I told you I was going to re-preach a little bit more on this. Amen. There's some of you still going to the wrong places, and you know good and well every time you pull up in the parking lot that your car's in the wrong place. There's some things that you do right now that the Holy Ghost is telling you you're doing wrong, and you've just been going for years and years and years. Listen, don't tell me you're in the will of God. You cannot get in the will of God. You will not be in the will of God until you're willing to give all that up. Woo. Before I get crucified and chewed up and spit out for lunch, I'm going to give you these others. We'll go home. That's enough. Amen. I don't give you the whole roast. Brother Bobby told me this morning, said that they'd said about the fried foods, said they found out now fried foods ain't what causes people to have heart attacks. I said, no, it ain't. It ain't that first piece of chicken. One piece of fried chicken don't kill you. It's them 14 others you eat behind it. Amen. It ain't that one cookie you eat every now and then. It's them 14 that you eat behind it. Amen. That's right. Hard to stop, ain't it? And so I'm telling you this morning, there's just some things that God has put in His Bible. Amen. Let me get back over here. I'm in another book. In 2 Timothy. Let me give you these. Outline number 3. And I could come back and preach it tonight. Don't think I will, but we'll see. In verse number 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. He said form. You see that form? We can label that pattern. What is a form? It's a pattern. So we can have the pattern of life in Christ Jesus. Verse 13. See that? Now, go with me to verse number 1, chapter 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what do we find there? We find in Christ Jesus there that we don't have the pattern, but we have the provision of life. Because he goes on to tell us that God's grace is going to be sufficient and he's going to take care of us. Amen. How do we get it? Through grace. Amen. So we find the provision of life. And God provides for us. There's a lot of preaching right there. I believe we've got a bunch of hurting people in here this morning. But God's grace is sufficient for you. In verse number 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake that they may obtain, also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Now, we can find here that word endure. What's that? Perseverance. We have the perseverance of life. How that we can keep on keeping on for Jesus. And it's going to take the grace of God. And we can do that in Christ Jesus. Then we go a little bit further into 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. I'm just giving you the outline. And may I come back sometime and preach some of these, but I don't have time this morning. Yea, and all that will... Well, let's go to verse 11. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. But out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Persecution mentioned 3 times in them 2 verses. And now we find the persecution of life. If you live godly, you're going to be persecuted. And then we find in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And we'll find here, we talk about that, it makes us wise, and wise gives you power, and you have the power of life in Christ Jesus. The power of life is the Word of God that makes you wise. Amen? And we have that in Christ Jesus. So take that little outline and go home and study on it, see what you can find. And later I'll preach on it sometime. Amen. That just gives me some sermon material. And like the old fellow said, he got up to preach and he kept poking his outlines in little holes in the pulpit. And he kept fingering around and trying to get it. And he looked around and he said, "There's a good sermon in the park. Just get her out." So I'm poking this in the hole to come back and preach on later. Amen. I pray this morning, God's give you the purpose of life. And he's give you the promise of life. And I pray you understand those well. Without the others even. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed. First of all, it's God's will to save you. It's God's will to save you if you're lost. Secondly, it's God's will to save others if you're saved. Is it not? And it's God's will that you live holy and dedicated and consecrated in the sight of God. Is that right? You can't argue with that. That's the Word of God. It's not what I think. It's not what I say. It's what God says. Now, I want you to stand. Now I want you to get your blue book. Turn to page 81. And we're going to sing. That's how God wants you this morning, just like you are. You may be in this building lost without God. I pray that you give your heart and life to Him this morning. Sing on. How about it? God wants you. He's drawing you. He's calling you. Would you come?